It's time to play Family Feud. Give it up for Steve Harvey.
Well, hello, everyone. I'm Pastor Matt, and we got a good one. How many of you watched the Family Feud? Raise your hand. All right, so you know what I'm talking about here. It is a show. My wife and I love it. It is a hilarious show, and it's top three in daytime shows and in game shows. And really, it's the funniest out of all of them. And, you know, during the offering, you were encouraged to write out eight qualities of people you like to be around. So we're going to play a little Family Feud. Now, I did not survey 100 people, but I did survey our staff during staff meeting, and we have the top eight answers. Now, you know how this goes. I'm going to say number eight. It's going to go ding, and you're going to all say it out loud. And if you don't get it right, we're going to back up and do it all over again. So here we go. Top eight qualities people like to be around. Number eight. That's good. Number seven. Number six. Number five. Number four. Number three. Number two. And the number one is kind. There we go. Good job. I was like, how is this going to turn out? It turns out well. That's good. Now, those are the ones, the top eight. There's many more. I mean, we had a list of probably altogether 30, 40 of them. Things like joyful, forgiving, loving, drama-free, trustworthy, good listener. There's a lot of them. But if you just look at these eight, and you look at your list, okay, just look at your list. I mean, and even this one. We like to be around people that are kind. You don't want to be around unkind people. You don't want to be around people that are not hardworking, that they're not helpful. You don't want to be around lazy people. We don't like to be around people who are godless. Now, I did think of this. My wife and I were talking about this. If it didn't make your top 20 list, then you got a problem. I'll just say that. Not top 10, because there's a lot of qualities you think of, but you want to be around people, if you're a believer, that love Jesus, that are godly. I mean, that's just a good thing. You want to be around people that are joyful or that are funny, not people that are negative all the time and have no joy. And that goes to thoughtful. We like to be around thoughtful and generous people. We don't like to be around negative people all the time. We are often, but that's not what we like to be around. And then honest, who likes to be around dishonest people? I mean, really, nobody. I mean, where's my wallet? Oh, great. And then the whole idea of gracious and compassionate. So and you say, well, why do I say these things? Well, first of all, the things you have on your list, are you those? And which is an ouch for me because I sat there and said, not always. So that's just a little thing. And the second thing is we're going to go to school on Daniel, and we're going to see the kind of life he lived. So let me encourage you, if you would, to open your Bibles to Daniel chapter 6. And last week, Pastor Jason covered the first 18 verses. And let me just do a quick review. As you know, that there are other leaders in the kingdom, but Daniel 6:3, it says, this Daniel became distinguished above all the other presidents or high officials and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. And so when the other leaders found out that they're going to put Daniel, who's an exile, in, what did they do? They tried to take him out. They became, and Pastor Jason talked about this, out of hate, out of prejudice, they tried to get Daniel out of there. So they talk the king into signing this ordinance, this edict, this injunction, that whoever prays to any god or man except the king for 30 days shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, that was a good sell job. I don't know how it happened, but the king ends up signing it. It's like, I don't know, was he not thinking? He had a bunch of bills and he just signed that one? And the text says in verse 10, when Daniel knew the document had been signed, He went to his house where he had his windows in the upper chamber open towards Jerusalem, and he got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. Just a little thought on prayer. If you're not praying when you're free and it's easy, you're not going to pray when it's hard and people are watching you and you can get in trouble for that. Can I just say that? I mean, I want us to be a people who pray individually, that we're fervent in prayer, and corporately as much as we can, that we would do that, that we would take prayer seriously. And so, well, what happens from there? Well, he gets ratted out. They see him praying. They tell the king. The king tries to get him off, and yet he couldn't because the law of the Medes and the Persians was firm. And so they cast him into the lion's den. And the king declared to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you." And so they put him in the lion's den. They set the seal over it. And then it says in verse 18, this is all by way of review, that the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No diversions were brought to him, and sleep fled from him. And then in verse 19, then at daybreak, the king arose and went in haste to the lion's den. And as he came near to the lion's den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. And here's my first point. I believe with all my heart that Daniel lived an attractive life. I mean, why would this king, and by this time Daniel's an old man, why would he care? Why would he care? When I say a quality of life, he had an attractive life that in one sense, the people were jealous because there was nothing they could bring against him. But there was something that they no doubt admired. But this king, he cared for him, and you can see this. He went from his palace. I mean, he went to his palace that night that he's thrown into the jail, and no diversions were brought to him. I mean, they didn't have TV, so they had other diversions, and you probably can figure out what those were. And none of those were brought to him that night. Why? Because he was worried about this man who he obviously cared for. He lived a life as a godly person that is an example to all of us. It really is. He was Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, before there was a Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. And you say, well, what is that? Well, Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." So I'm going to bring out my prop again, because God calls us to be lights. And I want us to focus on this a little bit, because here's the reality. There are certain things that are our responsibility. God's not going to be a light for you. And we're going to talk about how God does his part and we do our part. But this is one, my friend, that we can do our part. And we need to think about how we go through our day, how your kids are viewing you, how are the neighbors, how are the people you work with viewing you? Are you the kind of people, a person that people want to be around? And it's not that, oh, you know, and again, you should be kind, you should be loving, you should be helpful, you should be a servant, you should love Jesus. The funny part, I'm going to give you a total pass on that one, because some of you are not funny, and that's okay. I mean, that's not a bash, it's okay, that's a personality thing, but you should be thoughtful, you should be positive. Why? Because the Lord is the Lord of your life. And yes, we live in a negative, fallen world, but there's things to be joyful. If you replace joyful with positive, we should be that. You absolutely should be honest in all of your dealings. There should be no fudge that's going on there. And you should be gracious and loving. These are the things that God has called us as believers to be. And I don't know what goes on in this world, but it's kind of like, we know these things, but then we separate them. And no, we got to do our part. This is the part where Daniel's life, even as an old man, he shined. He really did. Now, second point, Daniel lived a life molded by God. And here's where God did his part. Okay, this is not Daniel the Superman, Daniel this perfect person. No, Daniel was a sinner. Daniel deserved hell. And he had come to his God and he had humbled himself before him. And we know from when he was a young man that he resolved not to defile himself. So he had, at a young age, understood in that Old Testament economy who God was and what he had done. And he honored the Lord. And it says in verse 9 of Daniel chapter 1, and God gave Daniel favor. So these things that you see in Daniel's life is not, man, Daniel, he's just something I could never be. Wrong answer. You have, as a believer, you have God the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, and the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You can do all these things in his power. And it is interesting. In 1 Samuel, it says, for those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. And I think that is so true. So when Daniel went on his knees and he prayed 3 times a day as he normally had done, he had that relationship. It was cultivated. He was walking with the Lord. And so God had done his part in molding Daniel. And so I say to us, brothers and sisters, the God who loves you, who died on the cross for your sins, he longs for you to be like him. And it's hard, and yet it's not hard. We got to die to ourselves, and we got to cling to him every moment of every day. He will transform our lives. He will. He absolutely will. In Psalms verse 28, verse 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart exalts, and I am helped. There is this amazing balance as our life flies through the jet stream of mystery, that when we do our part and we utterly know that apart from him we can do nothing and we rely on him, he changes us. He uses us. Now, what could Daniel control in his life? I would submit to you, very little. Because I could sit here saying, I can hear people saying, well, you don't know my life. My life's terrible. And I'm not denying that. But your life probably wasn't as bad as Daniel's. No one has ripped you up out of your land and brought you to a different country. They haven't taken you over to England or wherever. That hasn't happened. You're here by your own choice. You don't have everyone around you hating your guts and are prejudiced against you and wanting to kill you, though some of you have that. But I don't know many people in this sanctuary that have people who want to kill them right now. Now, in their hearts, yeah, I'll give you that one. But again, he had nothing he can control. But you know what he could do? He could go to his Lord and say, Lord, you got my life. You have me. You have everything. And he did. Psalm 144, verse 2. He is my steadfast love and my fortress, my stronghold, my deliverer, my shield, in whom I take refuge. He subdues the people under me. And that's what we have to do. We have to understand that God is God and he wants us to come to him. And some of you can't do life. Your life is too hard. There's too many things going on physically, emotionally. There's things that are going on relationally. They're financially and all those things that are crushing in. And I'm here to say that he is your refuge. He has you. You run to him. And when you run to him and you take God's word and you live that out by his power, you have a refuge. You have hope. There is joy, and we can focus on him. And you know what? If we don't do that, you know what I'm going to do? Let's say I don't do that. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to whine and complain about, woe me, this is bad, this is bad, this is bad, this is bad. And nothing's going to change. Or I can say, okay, Lord, I'm holding on to you. I'm going to do my part. And you know what? Still going to be hard stuff. It's not going to go away. But he will give you his peace that passes all understanding. We get our minds off of when we're going sideways. And we draw to the God of the universe. And he promises and he gives us this charge. Paul did. I appeal to you, brothers, by the mercies of God. Again, here's his part. To present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. When your mind is renewed and you trust the living God, it's all good. It truly is all good. Pastor Jason mentioned this last week. When Daniel was being thrown into that lion's den, he wasn't bartering, he wasn't whining, he wasn't saying this isn't fair. He had entrusted himself into the God of the universe. I'm going to read you one passage, and I'm going to put them up there one screen at a time. But you're going to see what's our part and what's God's part. So, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16. Here's what it says. Rejoice always. That's what we have to do. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophesying. But test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Every form of evil. How are you going to know that? By getting into his word. By saturating yourself in God's word. And then it goes on to say this. The very next verse. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. It's just that balance of Galatians 2:20 that says, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. Christ lives in me. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. But when I'm not there, when I'm thinking for me, man, it's so easy when you get your eyes off the Lord that we go sideways. Now let's look what happens. Daniel is delivered by God. It says he came to the den where Daniel was, the king did, and he cried out in a tone of anguish. And the king declared to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me because I was found blameless before him and before you, O king. I have done no harm. Now, can I just say, Daniel would have been delivered if when they threw him in, he was eaten before he ate the ground. God would have delivered him. That would have been his deliverance. And there's plenty of examples in that. If you go to Romans or Hebrews chapter 11, the Hall of Fame of Faith, you're going to hear about Daniel and how through faith he shut the mouths of lions. But you just keep reading. And there were others who were tortured and despised. Some were sawn in two. And so their deliverance came different. But let me tell you, brother and sister, you're going to be delivered. You're going to be. And what a marvelous thing that we see here. And it's interesting. God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth. Just a word about angels. The Bible talks about it all the time, the angelic realm. There is, and this is something that it kind of weirds us out, but it shouldn't. There is a God and he has angels, his angels that work. And if you read your Bible, you're going to see them interacting all the time. And then there is the devil. And there are fallen angels called demons. And they are out there as real as the angels are. And the devil, what does he want to do? He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But God tells us in his word, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. And in Hebrews 1:14, it says, are not all ministering spirits, some translations say angels, sent for the sake of those who will inherit eternal life? And so I do think that there is a real sense in which God, he sent his angel. And you know what that angel did? He shut the mouth of the lion. And this whole thing of spiritual warfare is real in your life. I mean, think about that. Potentially in this room, there could be angels and there could be demons, which I don't want to freak you out, but there is a spiritual warfare that we're going to see as we go later on in this book that is real. And we don't need to fear the devil. We need to resist the devil and he'll flee from us. We're to draw near to God. But that is something that we're called to do. It's real. I mean, plenty about it in false teachers. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, talks about such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So how do you know who's who? And that's where we go to the Word. And again, this battle that goes on, this spiritual warfare is real and it's out there. One question that I always get asked, do we have guardian angels? You know, was this Daniel's guardian angel? And nowhere in the Bible does it emphatically say that we have a guardian angel. But make no doubt that the angelic realm are there and God sends them as he does and as he wishes to work and to protect his saints. And we don't need to make much about angels. I don't want to see little angel ribbons on you guys. And you know, why? We're not called to that. I mean, God may use them, but we serve a God who is all-powerful, all-knowing. It says in Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So we run to the Lord. And if he chooses to use angels, that's fine. He could do what he would like. Now, let's look at the king's response. Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him because he had trusted in his God. He had done that. He had trusted him. Verse 24. And then the king commanded that those men who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought and cast into the den of lions. They, their children, their wives, and before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces. And people say, well, why is this put in the text? Well, it's interesting. Liberal scholars will say, well, you know, when Daniel was put in the lion's den, they resist the miraculous. So they'll say, you know, the lion had indigestion or, you know, he was toothless. They really weren't like bad lions. And I think that there's a part that, God sovereignly in his plan protected Daniel. Then the others were thrown in, and before they hit the ground, bam, they were eaten alive. But here's a hard truth. They, their children, and their wives. Whether you like this or not, this is a picture of God's mercy and God's justice. It has been said that God is God and he rules and governs over everything. And everything he does is just and right and good. And God owes us nothing. And if you have heartburn, and some people do, it's like, well, I don't see how that's fair that the wives and the children, I mean, I see if the people that started this, they were punished. And some of these could be regarded, the parents and the children could be regarded as conspirators in what happened. But there are plenty of biblical examples of God's divine judgment where whole families were taken out. Achan's family, Korah's family in the rebellion. We hear this in Naaman, and there's other places. And here's where I would just say, trust him. Because God is God. And he is just and perfect. And you say, well, is it fair that the children, what if they were infants? What about them? Well, I can tell you this much. They went to be with the Lord, in my opinion. They did. And they were saved from a worse terror than being in a godless family. But all I know is here's what we're called to do. We're called to do what Darius says. Look at the king's proclamation. And we're going to talk about that a little more. Then Darius wrote to all the people, nations, languages that dwell on the earth, peace be multiply you. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. And that is a decree to us. We are to fear and to tremble before the God of the universe. Because all of his ways are just. He is good. He is perfect. His justice is a holy, perfect justice. So please don't sit there and say, well, my God wouldn't, I'm not comfortable with that. No offense. And I was thinking about, how do I say this? Do I say this meanly or do I say this nicely? I'm going to try to say it nicely. You're not God. You're really not. And we are not going to say to the God of the universe, sorry, God, I object. I object to your handling of judgment. That is not what happens. Why? Because he is the sovereign, holy, just, pure. Our God is a consuming fire, and we know little or nothing of God's holiness. And if you're struggling with this right now, and I know many people are, I beg you to go read R.C. Sproul's book, The Holiness of God. It's life-changing. Because you have to see that God is God, and he is holy and perfect and just in all his ways and all he does. And when he judges, and he will judge, he came the first time to be our Savior, but when he returns, he's going to come in judgment. And so when the king says we're to tremble in fear before the God of Daniel, oh, we are. We are. And his ways are not always our ways. But he goes on to say, why? For he's the living God and enduring forever, and his kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the mouth of the lions. You see, we have this God that's why we want you to study God's word. We want you to get to know this incredibly huge God that we serve, that is sovereign and powerful and right and just and does wonders. I don't want you to have a little God, a puny little God. We want you to have this massive God, and we want to cling to him. Why? Because the Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your coming out and your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. That's the hope of the believer. Where are you going to run? If you choose to say to God, like, I'm going through the grocery store and I'm going to pick this product, but I'm not going to pick this product. We don't do that with the Lord. It doesn't work. And there are things that we'll read that are hard truths, but God is God and we simply are not. So let me land this plane. Two things that I think we need to take away from this. You are called to be different as a Christian. You call yourself a Christian here today? Then live differently. Live totally. Let your light shine. And when you struggle, and we all do, so please don't think that you're going to walk through the week, I'm perfect. No, you're going to mess up. You're going to say something stupid. You're going to do the wrong thing, say the wrong thing. And you go back to those people and you repent. And you humble yourselves. And you cry out every day, God, help me to let my light shine. I can't do it. You do it through me. It's not me. It's you. But I want to live such a good lives that they will see my deeds and what? Glorify my Father who is in heaven. So my challenge to you is, don't take this lightly. If I went to your workplace and I asked those questions, are you honest? You know, is Dale honest? Is Dale truthful? I mean, put all those things up there. It's like, oh, really? So that is a challenge for every one of us, even in our homes. Hear me. Even in our homes, I always say that's my biggest struggle. I go home and it's not as easy because you all will fire me. My wife, you know, there's times where I got to repent every week because I'm saying stuff and doing stuff that not right. And so I encourage us to start that at home and let our light shine elsewhere. And then come to understand that God is God. He is the sovereign ruler of everything. He is just in all he does. He owes us nothing. He is holy, and we need to just trust this magnificent God with our lives. And he's going to deliver you. You can't sit there and hit any kind of eject button to act a certain way because, well, I have a special dispensation because you don't know my situation. You know, he has been tempted in every way as us, yet without sin, and he will help you get through whatever you're going through. So I just want us to bow and just really have a time with the Lord as the band comes forward, and let's just talk to him about our lives and what's going on. Lord, we come to you. And if we're honest, there's things we need to repent of. In some cases, we're trying to tell you, the God of the universe, how to be God. Lord, forgive us for that. May we trust you, knowing of who you are, that you are perfect in all your ways. Lord, forgive us for when we make excuses to not let our light shine and we blame the circumstances of our lives, the people in our lives, for our sinful behavior. Lord, that's not right. So help us to turn from that, and by your power, through your Spirit, Lord, may we walk with you moment by moment, day by day. So we just give you our hearts afresh. Change us, Lord, I pray. Help us to be that light, and help us to, in your power, make a difference as we keep our eyes on you, the God of the universe. And we will give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
God is God and we are not. We praise him. Who he is. I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than in the middle of the mystery. eyes. In the presence of my enemy.
Ring a little louder.
Louder than the unbelief.
Sing a little louder.
My weapon is a melody.
Ring a little louder.
Heaven comes to fight for.
Pray together. Lord, you know every heart, every soul. You know when we sit down and we rise up, you perceive our thoughts from afar. Lord, you know every individual here that is in the middle of a storm and what they're doing isn't working. So I pray, Lord, that you would move in their lives and help them to run to you and to you alone and to do all what your word says. By your power and your strength for your glory. And Lord, get them through this day and get them through this week. Lord, let their light shine and use them mightily. Your word says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forevermore. And all God's people said, amen.